This is where smart business conversations meet real-world experience, where strategies are shared, lessons are learned, and ideas come to life. I'm Emily Galindo, and you're watching Biz Talk, your destination for real insight from the minds shaping tomorrow's business world. Only on Now Media Television.
Hi, welcome to Biz Talk, the show where we break down business, finance, and strategy so you can move smarter, not harder. And today's guest, Joseph Reyes, has been moving and working with numbers since the 70s. He's the founder of J.L. Reyes Accounting and Tax CPAs, and with over 15 years at the helm, he's built a reputation of helping clients not just file their taxes, but think ahead. Joseph holds degrees from Pace and Drexel, a master's in theology, and comes from and does hold a Series 65 and life insurance license. He has a proactive approach that helps business owners stop leaving money on the table. Joseph, welcome to Biz Talk.
Hi, thank you. Good to be here. Good to see you.
It's great to see you as well. And this is definitely a topic that most business owners do not like to talk about. They don't understand. And quite frankly, we get really, at least I'll speak for myself, get somewhat frustrated or angry having to have the discussion at all. But it's super important, right? Taxes.
Money.
Money, taxes, money, and all the things, right? We build our business. We want to make that revenue. And at tax time, we end up having to, you know, see it go out the back door and don't understand what's going on. So the problem facing many in the audience, and including myself, so I'm excited that you're here to help us. If I'm paying an accountant and I feel like you're handling everything, and then at the end of the year or at this time, I get a bill from them, or from the IRS, that says I owe $9,000, $16,000, $20,000, and I don't understand why. Why is that? How often do you see that in your practice, actually? Let's start. Practice, but in your industry.
Well, I actually do see it myself. We see it all the time, you know. So the word tax, you know, just has a broad spectrum of definitions. And what happens a lot of times is business owners, they just want to get the tax returns done, right? So they don't want to pay, especially if it's a startup, they may not want to pay professional fees for month to month or quarter to quarter tax services. So they're trying to scrimp on the fee, and the response to that by the tax person would be, okay, we'll do your tax return. And so they both think they're communicating on the same level. They're not. One person is thinking, the entrepreneur is thinking, oh, my tax guy is going to make sure that he gets my tax return done. And they're thinking he's going to do it, or she's going to do it in such a way that it's going to be tax efficient. And therein lies the problem, right? There's such a thing as tax preparation, number one. But the other thing is tax planning. And tax planning is usually a broader process. It's more consulting and advisory work. So we have seen a lot of, especially in the small business world, but we have seen many businesses, you know, they're just thinking, are you going to get the books done? Then you do the tax return. And even though we may try to get their attention year after year, like, hey, let's do some planning. Let's control this number. It goes in one ear and out the other oftentimes, or they're not understanding for some odd reason what you're trying to tell them. And so then they're surprised to find that the accountant says, okay, we'll just do your tax return. And, you know, we're shaking our heads and saying, once again, this client is overpaying on their taxes. So they need to, both people need to make sure that they're communicating on the same level. Tax preparation does not mean lower taxes.
Okay, that's a really important thing to distinguish. And I think the big thing that I just heard there, the big takeaway for me, and hopefully for our viewers, is that tax efficiency, tax preparation. And would you say that most CPA firms offer that, or are not all created equal?
No, I would not say that most CPA firms do it. You know, some do, some don't. Tax season gets pretty crazy, you know. So you go to your CPA firm, you know, in January or February of the new year, what you're not going to get is tax planning services. You know, you're going to get hey, we're in a rush to meet this April 15 deadline or March 15, depending on the kind of company you have. And you're going to, the accountant is just trying to get to that deadline and maybe take a day off, on March 16th, rest, and then start up all over again to get individual and C corporation tax returns done by April 15. So it's a horrible race to the finish line. It stresses a lot of accountants out. You just have to talk way before tax season is over and make sure that you're both on the same page. There's no substitute for that. And we've seen CPA firms that do advanced tax planning. So they unpack everything. They look at your life, they look at your business, they look at both, they look at everything that they possibly can look at to see, is there something in this person's life that can come with a tax break of some kind? There are some CPA firms, they just want to get through the tax return. And so caveat emptor, right? Buyer beware. You think you're buying something that you're not buying. So you should ask the accounting firm doing your tax return, hey, is it just tax preparation that you do, or do you do more than that? You got to have that conversation, but you cannot have that conversation after December 31st. You got to be having it throughout the year. And I have met CPAs who do very good advanced work, and then there's some CPAs who do just standard run-of-the-mill, tax planning is what they like to call it, but it's really taking advantage of easy, low-hanging tax laws and tax benefits, and they just go and they just do that. But there's some CPA firms that will do, they'll create a charitable trust for you. They'll do some long-range planning, estate planning that comes with today's tax benefits. So it depends on what the CPA is interested in doing, because it's just not something you're taught in college. It's not something you're taught in a university class. You don't need to know advanced tax planning to pass the CPA exam. You don't need tax planning to pass the enrolled agent license, which is another type of tax preparer and tax professional. So it's continuing education. It's always keeping on top of what's going on in the tax world and trying to figure out how can I save clients money. That's advisory. That's consulting. That's a whole different animal than just tax preparation.
Okay, understood. And I hope that our viewers heard that too, because it makes a big difference when you get that surprise lump sum at the end of the year that you weren't prepared for. Hopefully, at minimum, you were prepared for it. But if we can't be having those conversations, you said after December 31st, and then, we kind of have the January through April for you guys is not a good time. So when, I mean, it's July right now. Is right now a really great time to start? Maybe starting this process of getting with a consultant and doing tax preparation and planning for the next upcoming years, when's a good time to have that discussion?
Now's a very good time. Typically, a lot of people, CPAs and tax professionals and clients that are interested in planning, they'll get to it around the fourth quarter, sometime around beginning of October. Because by the fourth quarter, a lot of business owners have a sense of where the business is going to land for the year. So we encourage people to do it as early as possible, especially when we do your tax return and you're on extension and we send you your tax return today. Hey, I'm going to ask the question, like, maybe we should talk about next year and we should do it now. Or like some of my clients, they're getting onto my calendar right now. They say, I don't want to talk to you till September. Would that be okay? I'm like, absolutely. Go to my calendar link, set up a time that's convenient for you. Let's talk, because by then we're going to start getting a sense of where they're going. And some tax strategies, July might be too soon for certain tax strategies to be considered or executed. We just had this new tax bill that just got passed, the big beautiful bill they called it, right? So there's some tax goodies in there. So it just came out. So the rank and file CPA world is not on it yet. We've got some inkling of what's going on, but we haven't started doing the deep dive. I know I haven't. I'm still trying to get tax returns out for some of my biggest corporate clients. But I know enough to tell them, hey, there's some goodies in there. We definitely need to be talking. So When I send out the tax return, that's what I'm telling people. Let's talk about making some moves now so that next year this number is controlled versus it controlling you and then doing damage to your wallet. And tax expenses are very, very high. And if you look at it as a cash flow situation, hey, control the tax. You got more money in your pocket. You can invest in a new machine. You can invest in a new employee, if you control the number instead of, not taking the proactive approach. And then, you're at the mercy of, the Congress, if you will.
Absolutely. And so, Joseph, before we go to commercial break, I would love for you to give our viewers a couple of signs that would indicate to a business owner that their current setup is not working, that it's not optimized, and that they are leaving money on the table.
Well, two big signs. Number one is the whole tax preparation scenario is chaotic. That's how you know it's not under control. And the second one is you got a big surprise that you're not happy with. And you're shaking your head, asking yourself, how is this even happening? That's the biggest one. It's like you got a number in your head, and then it's two or three times larger than what you were expecting. Clear signs that it's just not working, whatever it is you're doing now. And it's a relationship, and both sides are at fault for not making it happen. And if one person's not listening, then there's nothing you can do about the other person, right? So, yeah, just a whole chaotic tax preparation season. That's a sign that it's out of control.
Okay, good to know. And so if our viewers wanted to connect with you, how could they get a hold of you at the JL Reyes Accounting?
Yeah, my website, reyesaccounting.com. That's R-E as in Edward, R-E-Y-E-S, accounting.com. It's got my contact information, email, phone number, what we do. Pretty soon we're going to be loading it up with all kinds of social media content. We're starting a YouTube channel. So all that's coming. We're in the process of putting that all together now.
Okay, wonderful. Well, stick with us and hang out with us for a little bit because we've learned so much from you already. And so when we get back, we'll talk to Joseph more about what happens if you get audited and that knock that you hope never comes actually shows up. We'll be right back.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back. We are here with Joseph Reyes, founder of the JL Reyes Accounting. And in this segment, we are diving into one of the scariest words for any business owner, audit. So let's talk about it with our wonderful expert here, Joseph Reyes. Thank you for sticking around and helping us dive into this topic. It's a scary one.
Welcome.
The problem facing many in our audience that we've heard is that they are scared of being audited. Could you help us understand, are they in big trouble? Or should we be this scared and not worried about it?
Depends on the person. Some people are terrified, at just the mention of the word IRS, the letters IRS. Some people, wisely, I think, as long as they're doing things legally, there's really nothing to worry about, So I liken the whole process to driving on an interstate highway with a 70-mile-per-hour limit, and because a person is scared of getting pulled over, they're going to drive at 60 mile per hour. I mean, that's there's nothing to fear if you're doing 70 miles per hour in a 70 mile per hour limit. And the same thing, I think, goes with the IRS code. Do things legally. Don't be crazy with, numbers that don't make any sense. And there's nothing really to fear. So what I would just tell people is, Don't fear the IRS as long as you're doing things legally and you're working with a tax professional who understands the rules. You'll be good to go. And yeah, you may get a letter, but it's not going to be, it's not the dreading, the thing to dread like most people, a lot of people dread, So just get a letter, send, and open it. Don't
Okay,
ignore it.
don't ignore it. That is key. Don't ever ignore the IRS. But what would be some common reasons small businesses get flagged for an audit, or are there warning signs that we should look out for?
Yeah, now that's a really, really good question. So I had a client years ago, small business guy. He had a job. His wife had a job. He had a small, a little rental property that he was, that was actively rented out. And his tax professional, guy was actually a tax lawyer. He recorded the replacement of a roof on the property for exactly $16,000. No pennies, no dollar, no miscellaneous dollars, just 16000.00. Well, that got the IRS's attention, and they sent him a letter asking him to, hey, can you show us what this is about? It was a simple question, so he forwarded it to his tax lawyer preparer, and the tax lawyer preparer took the document, took the letter, called the IRS, and gave the IRS a hard time. And was nasty with the IRS. Well, this poor soul then got audited, and the IRS said, we're going to unpack everything on this tax return. And they went back and they saw one thing after another. He wound up owing $100,000. And then he had all kinds of grief and aggravation from that. Well, be nice to the people you talk to who have power over you, right? So, don't do extravagant things. Don't do dumb things. And be courteous to the IRS agent that you're talking to. And then you can go from there. So we just tell people make sure that the numbers you're reporting are as accurate as they can be. Make sure that they make sense. And a little tidbit here that I think your audience may find very interesting is do pay attention to the non-monetary items like. Number one is the business that you're in, it has a code, a certain type of code that you have to enter on the tax return. Make sure that business code is accurate. And number two is on your occupation, make sure the occupation at the bottom of the tax return that where you're signing, make sure that it's also accurate or greatly represents what you do. Because if your business code is one thing, the IRS computer system is using all kinds of data, and they know from a restaurant business, they know they're expecting to see a lot of food costs and beverage costs and things of that nature. They're not expecting to see, a lot of travel all over the country and a lot of professional fees and legal fees, consulting fees, things that, don't really match up with a small restaurant business. And the alternative is, if you're a law firm, a lawyer, you file a tax return. You're not, the IRS is not expecting to see a lot of food costs and beverage costs, cost of goods sold is what we like to call them. So the IRS does have an algorithm that automatically checks tax returns to see if the business code matches what the numbers are starting to look like. And if they don't match up, you may get a letter.
Okay, all right, good. That is a great tip, actually. So thank you for that. It on that same note, is better like record keeping, is that a way to protect a business not just from like more penalties, but an unnecessary audit? Like, should we really keep a shoebox full of receipts? Is that really necessary?
Yeah, no, shoe boxes are no, don't let's not do that. Let's not, ride horse and buggy. We got cars nowadays. No shoe boxes. But good record keeping comes into play when you're doing your tax return and when you're running the business day to day. But by the time the tax return is filed and sent off to the IRS, they don't know what your records look like. But if they want to dig, you have better have it cleaned up and looking good before they show up, if they show up, because not all audits are on premises. A lot of these audits or correspondence requests are done, just by mail or by phone call. So, yeah, record keeping you need just to get the tax return done. If you come to us with a shoebox worth of stuff, you're gonna have a big bill, first of all. Second of all is we're gonna make sure that we do the bookkeeping. We clean up the books, we record your profit and losses, we create a balance sheet, cash flow statement, and we make sure that your numbers make sense, and then we can go ahead and file your tax return. But once the tax return is out the door, the presumption by the IRS is that you did your due diligence in making sure you have good numbers.
Love that. I mean, it's important just from an operational standpoint in business to have the numbers and make sure that you're keeping good records, as you mentioned. And it just makes the process for a professional like yourself to help us through any of the tax preparation and tax planning, but you can't do that without all of the information. So definitely don't, no shoeboxes, but definitely need to keep records of everything. Have you ever had a client come to you in the middle of an audit process, or that's how you got the client, was they got a letter and they didn't know what to do, and it was kind of on jail to get them out of the situation? And how did that work out for them?
All the time, yeah. So one of the things that I did, and it's similar to what I mentioned in the earlier segment, which is, you're not taught tax planning when you're preparing for the CPA exam. You're taught basic tax law, but tax planning is not something that a lot of accountants pursue. Similarly, dealing with the IRS is a specialty in and of itself. You have to kind of know the rules about, do you do an offer and compromise? How do you negotiate with the IRS? Those are specialty courses and knowledge that you have to go pursue yourself. I took the trouble, and I'm in the Philadelphia region. I took the trouble to go out to Buffalo and take a class, a 3-day class on how to negotiate with the IRS. And so I've done quite a few audits. I've done quite a few, representations and running interference and quarterbacking between the client and the IRS if they were to get audited or they get a letter. So, but my best advice to somebody who gets a letter from the IRS is make sure that you send that letter to the person who prepared your tax return or that tax return. That's number one. Number two is make sure that person has experience in dealing with the IRS. Because you don't know what you don't know, right? And you may have a tax professional who, they just want to get that document off their desk and be done with it because they're so busy with so many other things in the tax preparation world. So make sure that whoever's going to represent you has some kind of knowledge or certification in dealing with the IRS. And I know enough to get people out of hot water. And I also know enough to know when to send them to a tax attorney to handle an advanced problem. So the person need the tax preparer needs to know when to take the right action.
Okay, very nice. I mean, I feel like everything that you've taught us today is, it's not that big of a deal. Be nice to the IRS and don't ignore the letter. Send it to somebody like yourself, or I mean, the person who prepared it, but more importantly, to help. If I'm the one who prepared it, then I would need to then contact somebody like you. And so if I needed that help, how could I get a hold of you?
My website has all my contact information. It's reyesaccounting.com. That's REYES, as in Sam. So reyesaccounting.com. And all my contact information is in there. We have clients around the country, so we're very remote and technology oriented. So the good news is you don't have to be locked into your local yokels, so to speak.
Wonderful. Well, stick around with us because we are going to come back and speak more to Joe, because numbers are complicated in business sometimes, and we are in business because we love what we do, not always because we love to do spreadsheets and accounting. So stick with us, and when we get back, Joe will help us go through that financial fog.
We are just getting started. Stick around, and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo. If you're just now joining us, we have our own expert, a CPA with us, Joseph Reyes, who has helped us get some clarity about a lot of things, tax planning to make sure that we're not surprised, as well as what we do in an audit situation. And today, I want to take it down just a little bit more localized and getting financial clarity over the P&L. And looking at our spreadsheets and having the power. I want you to bring some power for us and empower us to feel more confident in looking at those. So, you know, the moment when you sit down, at least as a business owner, I sit down at a P&L and I stare at the spreadsheet and I think, what does any of this mean? And what does this have to do with running my business? Because this isn't what I do. What are the most powerful things that we're missing by not paying attention when we look at that P&L?
Yeah, so, excuse me. Doing bookkeeping and accounting is a specialty knowledge type of exercise. You have to know what the rules of accounting are in order to properly categorize an asset that you purchased, a machine that you purchased, how to categorize, you know, certain things that you take out of the business. Is it a personal item like a drawer, or is it, you know, you're just using the business card to buy something at Costco, but you know, you wind up using it for the business. You know, there's all kinds of nuances with the rules about where to put things on your books and your financial statements. So that's something that you leave to somebody who's been trained in bookkeeping and accounting, the classification process, the write-off process, things of that nature. But once that's done and the preparer, the bookkeeper or accountant is finished and gives you your set of financial statements, then it's not as complicated as many people think it is. It's just math, really. Number one, income. Straightforward, right? How much did the business take in that particular month? There's nothing, you know, mysterious about that. So that should not scare any business owner. In fact, I would think most business owners would be anxious to know what that number is on a monthly basis, if not daily.
It's really the only thing I think that we care about is that number on the P&L. You're like, how much did I bring in? How much is left? And that's everything I need to know.
Exactly. Now, two very important, you know, data sets. However, then there's the piece about, well, you know, I sold $100,000 worth of merchandise this month. But you know, how much did it cost me to get that merchandise? Did I spend $90,000 buying that merchandise that I sold for $100,000? Well, those are two very important pieces of information. Number one is, I bought it for $90,000, I sold it for $100, so that $90,000 is important. Then the difference between the two is $10,000. So I sold for $100, bought it for $90. I got $10,000 left to pay for salaries, rent, postage, you name it, cars, whatever it is you have going on. Is that $10,000 enough to support all these other expenses that I have? So once the financial statements are set, let the accountant do that. But your job is then to apply that knowledge to your business and similar to you would at your household. You know, if you're the budgeting type of household, you want to know how much is coming in, how much is going out, and how much do we get to keep? So you don't need to be the one to categorize and create the financials. But once it's done, it's a matter of mathematics and categorization. You would want to know if your marketing expenses for a particular month was $20,000 when you're used to it being $5,000. And something may have slipped your mind. You may get crazy, you're wearing a lot of hats. Things are going fast, out of control, you're growing, it's getting nuts. You're gonna forget things. Those financial statements will ground you and give you feedback as to, hey, this is what happened. And you're gonna look at that, you're gonna say, why did we lose money this month, last month? And you know, once you start asking that question, you look at the financials, you'll see on the profit and loss statement, you'll see a line item that says, you know, $20,000, but you were expecting $5,000, and that can be the explanation. So the financial statements will ground you and show you every single month where you are. If you're too busy to get that done, and trust me, I know what happens. You know, just imagine a growing, fast growing business and getting married and having kids, a kid all of a sudden, and all kinds of personal things, entering into your life, it's very easy to let the, financials and business issues, go to the wayside, and you're just doing what's absolutely necessary. But if you're just, and then if you're looking at your cash, you say, oh, I got plenty of cash in the bank, things are working out great. Okay, that works for you. But sooner or later, you gotta wanna know what the true numbers are for tax planning, future planning, and budgeting.
Okay, so I'm obviously we shouldn't ignore the numbers, and even if it's if you've got somebody doing your books, and it's easy to read the financial statements, because as you mentioned, it's just math. Is there something that you would recommend, or do you recommend to your clients that they do weekly, monthly, to ensure that they are staying on top and staying connected to these numbers?
Try to get your bookkeeping done every month as much as possible.
Okay.
And the way to do that is by hiring a bookkeeping or accounting firm to do it for you, and then give them the tools that they need, like for instance, access to your bank accounts, as a guest accountant to download bank statements. They cannot execute transactions, so it's very safe. But being able to download bank statements on their own without having to ask you for a lot of information, credit card statements, any statements, anything that they need to reconcile and review. Just let them do it every single month. Try to do it on automatic pilot as much as possible. And then on a monthly basis, the accountant will send you a set of financials. And they'll tell you, hey, let's talk about that. Or they can send you a set of financials with notes on things to look at and things to pay attention to. So it's kind of a partnership. And it should always, as much as possible, the accountant should be the not be the person who pays your bills, right? So whoever pays your bills should not be the person accounting for the cash, right? But other than that, monthly bookkeeping is the way to go, with some explanation of big variances between 1 month to the next month or 1 year to the next year, and simple things like that. It's a skill you have to develop if you're going to run a business, because if you're a business owner, you are negligent if you're not getting familiar with your own numbers and your own books, because then what's going to happen is you're going to get a nasty surprise sooner or later in your life, and you'll have nobody else to blame but yourself, even if you hire an accountant to do the legwork for you. You have to know your numbers.
Yes, and I've heard from several, high-level professionals that the sooner you can hire a bookkeeper and an accountant, as much as it is a cost, it looks like a cost on that line item, it really does save you a lot of time, energy, effort, money, stress to have somebody like yourself helping those things, helping to manage this. Because if you don't like it, and you're not great at it, you're just not going to do it, and you're not going to do it well. So,
Right.
one of the questions I have for you is actually, so monthly bookkeeping is obviously crucial. You've mentioned that multiple times. As a business owner, I'm just curious, those are lagging indicators, right? That's we're looking in the past about what's happened, and we can't do anything about that. Can we use those same financial statements and say and a book and bookkeeping and accounting as a way to do projections and make business decisions for the future based off of that information?
That's a great question, right? So, how's that saying going? Those who ignore the past or history are bound to repeat it, right? So if you're not looking at what your numbers are looking like for last year or this year, same time this year, same time last year, right? Things of that nature, or month to month. January, here's the books. February, here's what the numbers look like. March, here's what the numbers look like. You should start seeing trends, right? And if things are trending in a way that you're not happy with, you can at least start taking action to reverse that trend, because there may be something going on that you didn't see or didn't realize, because you get stuck in the tr in the weeds, so you're not seeing the big picture. So an example of that would be, the purchase price of goods. There can be all of a sudden a spike. Think about the oil industry. Any little thing happens in the Middle East, the oil prices go crazy, right? So, and you may not see it when you're in the weeds, and you just might be purchasing, the product and using it to, run your business or whatever. So by watching the trends, you can take a quick glance. Literally, it can take you a minute to look at a set of your P&L, ask the accountant to give you a monthly P&L. So if it's July, let them run a 6 month P&L, where it's by month, you can see here are my sales for each month. Here's my cost of labor, payroll for each month. Here's my cost of goods each month. And then you can see a quick uptick or downtick in the data. And then with that information, you can have an intelligent conversation with your accountant or financial professional or your CFO or whoever it is you're using to help you make decisions. You've got data you can sink your teeth into, cold, hard data. But if you're not doing that and you're trying to do it in your head, all it takes is for the baby to get sick and you wind up in the hospital, watching the baby every day for a week, and then something gets right past you. You won't even realize it. And you may have a bad next month, which you don't want to do, of course.
I feel like every time you answer my question, it really is about a conversation with a professional that knows more about the numbers and getting the data sets and the data points. Do you feel like enough business owners are leveraging their partnerships with their financial professionals?
Definitely not. I've got large clients. I got a $100 million client. I've got $100,000 clients where, they're not doing so well. So, and I'm amazed at how many managers and owners they just don't get the value that a financial professional brings to the table. I have seen it time and time again where people make all kinds of mistakes in their planning and financial planning and their taxes, and then they wind up with a surprise, and that could have been prevented. And the accounting professional, your financial professional, if they're any good, they're going to want to work with you, and they're looking out for, they've got your back, in other words. And I like to say with Raise Accounting, we want to take a 360 view of you and your life, and we're looking for things that are going to potentially hurt you. So I'm very interested in your asset protection. Now, I'm not a lawyer, right? If you get sued, that really doesn't have anything to do with me, but it concerns me if I have a client that gets sued, maybe loses a lot of money in a lawsuit, and it could have been prevented by having a conversation about the business, the person, the family, things of that nature. So, but at the end of the day, it does really come back to you. Again, it's your life, it's your tax return, it's your business. You have to finally take full ownership of it. But use a financial professional. People have no idea how much we know and how much we can save them and what we can prevent and things that we can prevent in their lives, which for me is a favorite of mine. I really love estate planning, and I don't do estate planning, but I love it. I like to connect people with lawyers who do it and bring things to the table. They don't have a will. If they have a baby, I'm like, why do you not have a will? Let's get this thing done, that kind of a thing. So we like to come up beside our clients and show them how maybe they have holes in their lives that they need to plug.
It provides a lot of stress relief and a lot of confidence in knowing that somebody else is looking out for your best interests in this department. So thank you so much for what you do for your clients, and people should leverage you more. We're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to talk a little bit more with Joe about what happens when you don't have that in your life and you want to try to do it yourself and the dangers that can bring on. So we'll be right back.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. If you prefer to listen on the go, catch the podcast version of the show that you love right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. All right, we are closing out today's show that has been super important and very impactful because understanding the numbers, and we've been talking with Joseph Reyes, our CPA with JL Accounting and CPAs, who has helped us understand that small business owners need to understand their numbers, or at least have a professional in their life helping them understand those numbers. And if you don't, or you don't feel like you need one, or you don't feel like you can afford one right now, you might get trapped in the idea that you can do it yourself. So Joseph's here to help us understand what happens when we go with that option. So Joseph, what is your biggest takeaway that you've seen when clients come to you and they've been DIYing their accounting and bookkeeping since the beginning of their business? What's the biggest thing that you've seen?
Very unpleasant lifestyles. I'm a professional accountant. When I was a young boy in high school and I took my first bookkeeping class, I took to it like a fish to water. It just came second nature to me. And I was told from then on, Joe, you need to become an accountant. And it's what I went to college for. It's the track I was on. I started back when I was 15 or 16. And today I'm 67 and I'm an accountant, right? So it's what I'm good at. And guess what? When I started my business, I didn't do a whole lot of my bookkeeping and accounting.
Really?
I had somebody on my team, and he was a bookkeeper. He also has an accounting degree, very bright guy, and he's still with me, and it's been 14 years. And he did most of my bookkeeping for me. I didn't have time to do bookkeeping. I didn't have time to do accounting. I had time to get tax returns done. I had time to get bookkeeping for clients done. I had time for interviewing people, you know, marketing, running the business. And then I would look at the books after they were done, quick glance at it, and continue moving on. And I'm a professional at this stuff. I can do bookkeeping with my eyes closed. And I rarely ever did my own books. So I would tell somebody who is running a business, if you want to DIY your accounting and bookkeeping, good luck with that. Number one, you had better be good at it, because you have to get it done quickly, because you have a million other things waiting for you to get done. And if you're not good at it, then I promise you one thing, I say this with certainty, you're going to mess it up and your books are not going to make any sense. And then you have to clean it up, and then comes tax time. If you're fortunate enough to make a profit, you may have more of a tax and more of a profit than you thought you were going to have. And it could just be you have accounting and bookkeeping errors. I so totally don't recommend people do their own books.
Okay. Is there a time frame? So like, what kind of business or what size business would you say it's okay to handle their own accounting? And then at what point does a business become more expensive for them to do it themselves, right? Because expense could be their own time, like you just described, that you got to take away from the business, right? That costs the business money as well, and takes from marketing and sales and all of the other things. When does it become more expensive to do it yourself versus when is it okay to do it yourself?
Yeah, so in the accounting world, you know, we have a concept called opportunity cost. An opportunity cost is, you have two options. And if you go with option A, what are you losing by not doing option B, and vice versa? So same thing with running your own business and doing books and things of that nature. If you're doing your own books and accounting and whatnot, what are you not doing? And is that item that you're not doing potentially more profitable and going to do more for your business than you doing your own books? So what we recommend is do your books only if you have the time to do it. If it's getting in the way of building your business, of marketing, of walking out that door, going to a networking group, shaking hands and meeting people and pitching, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. So don't do it. You know, it may be 1 or 2 months, and then you got to give it over to somebody else. You start a business. Your job is to sell the product. Your job is to make it go, make the bacon, and get things cranked up and get the contacts and all that stuff. And the back end stuff is not as expensive as you think. But if you mess things up and you spend a lot of time on that when you should be networking, then it's going to be really, really expensive, more expensive than if you pay somebody to just do your books. You know, you can get a bookkeeper to do your books for $25 an hour, right? And it may take a few hours a month. Whereas you could be in a networking group and, you know, meeting people who could bring thousands and thousands of dollars to your business every single month. So it makes more sense to be the rainmaker and pay somebody a few bucks to get it done. Bookkeeping and accounting is not as expensive as you think it is, and it's not a waste of money. It's a good investment in your business, in my opinion.
So another way to say that, I mean, I love opportunity cost, but so the number one sign I wanted to that I heard you say is, and the big takeaway is that if you have to schedule time on your calendar to do the books and do the finance portion of your business, and that's taking up, oh, I can't go to this business meeting or I can't go to the networking meeting because I have to do this because it's on my calendar, that is what I would classify as stealing money from your business.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better.
One,
Exactly.
I mean, and that really, because the opportunity that you could have gotten from those rooms and those meetings is where you're actually bringing in the income. So, why do you, I mean, I would assume, do you ever get clients that feel like they have too many control issues and that's why they don't hand over their books? Do you think that, do you see that a lot? That people who are very, they don't want to lose the visibility on the money and they don't want to lose power over their business. Do you see that in your industry?
Yeah, I've seen it quite a bit, and it's silly in my view, you know. And I like to be diplomatic and empathetic towards people. So I think it's one of my skill sets, and I try to get them to understand as gently as possible. Like, maybe we could do this a different way than the way we're doing it now. But if you're a control freak, just let us do what we can, and then you can pick it up from there, you know. But you need guidance, yeah, unless you're trained in accounting and tax. You don't know what you don't know. It's silly to want to take control. And people like that are hard to work with anyway. So they're probably going to jump around from accountant to accountant. So they probably won't last very long with you if you are trying to help them get under control. But it happens quite a bit. And they think they're doing themselves a favor. And you just can't get the message into their heads. And they're going to do what they're going to do. And you just sit there, you just watch the train wreck happening.
Yeah, and you just and that and they have the their right to have that experience. They'll learn the hard way, I think, in the end of that. What would you say is the biggest benefit when you see people who maybe were just not ambivalent, but you know, they were concerned about costs, they were concerned about losing visibility, but do eventually trust you and come on board? What are some of the biggest benefits that your clients report about feeling when they have made that leap and give that over to you?
Well, you know, I like people. I like talking to people, and I try to come off as personable as possible. I've been told I'm good at it most of the time. And one of the things that, you know, I try to relate to my clients is, you know, I'm your friend. At the end of the day, I've got your back. I'm trying to watch out for you here. You know, let us do our job, and just you got to put a little bit of trust into us. We're not going to steal your money. Right, we're fully licensed by the state of Pennsylvania. So we know what we know. There are things you don't know. Let us help you. Let me help me help you. Right, that's the same the way that saying goes. So we just you know we're just asking for some trust. Fortunately, the CPA is even for a long time has been number one the world the America's number one most trusted advisor. Right, people have an innate trust in CPAs because we're well licensed, you know, we have good ethics requirements and whatnot. So people do immediately put trust in us most of the time. And I try to, you know, feed off of that by getting them to open up to me. Tell me everything you can about your life. Tell me everything you can about your business, your kids, you know, and what can we do to help you? And hear me out, you know, just hear me out. Let me bring things to the table. I'm 67. I have a lot of experience in these matters. I've been in this for a long, long time. So I'm not some young buck that just heard something and is just spitting it out. So clients can help themselves by just trusting their financial advisor as long as he's trustworthy or she.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, we have one as well for our business. And I think the sense that I get is relief, right? Like I can focus on what we do and I can focus on our members and I get to feel like that's being like just the relief and the less stress that we have by knowing that somebody who's smarter than us, who's more qualified than us, can take on that responsibility. And then we get to make the decisions about the business because we have the numbers. And so, we need people like you in our lives.
I agree.
So with that being said, so if we have viewers who want to have that same kind of relief and that same kind of control, how can people get a hold of you to have these types of conversations? Because you are very personable. So thank you very much for
Thank
being here.
you. Thank you. My website is reyesaccounting.com. That's R-E-Y-E-S as in Sam. So reyesaccounting.com has got all my contact information in there. We have clients around the country. We're very remote savvy, tech savvy. We have the latest and greatest technologies, and we're fortunate enough to be able to have clients around the country that we can help, and we love doing it.
Wonderful. We love that you love it because most of us don't love it. So we need you to love that. So thank you so much for joining us here on BizTalk. Your insights on audit strategy, financial clarity, and knowing when to delegate have been incredibly valuable. So for anyone trying to grow their business with less stress, we would love for them to reach out to you.
Thank you.
All right, to our viewers, remember this: just because you can do it alone, it does not mean you should. Success is a team effort. Whether you're struggling with tax surprises, buried in receipts, or simply just tired of guessing what your numbers mean, it's never too late to call in an expert. So I'm your host, Emily Galindo. Thank you for watching BizTalk. We'll see you next time with more tools, more strategies, and more ways to help you grow your business and simplify your journey. So thanks so much. We'll see you next time.